St. Paul in today's epistle says our citizenship is in heaven. That is where we need to keep our focus. There is a great lack of civility in our civilization, in our culture. There is also a great lack of trust in institutions. And when there is a lack of trust, there cannot be unity. It begins to break down. What is needed for our culture to be civil again, to be civilized, wherein trust can be regained? Well, I go back to Bishop Morlino. We need to teach the truth in love. And we have to live the truth in love. And there are plenty who will fight against us. But our civilization is of heaven. It is not of the earth. I think our opening prayer, our collect, gives us a little key of how we can live the truth, proclaim the truth in love. It says, "We beseech thee, absolve thy people from their offenses, that through thy bountiful goodness we may be freed from the bonds of those sins which by frailty we have committed." It is through mercy. It is through forgiveness. Because when we stand in the truth, when we proclaim the truth, we will oftentimes be rejected as was Jesus rejected. But his heart did not grow embittered, nor did it fight back in defense. It continued to move on peaceably, with great focus, with great intention. He moved on from one town and village to the next, from one person to the next. Not getting caught up in the extremes, but seeing the need that was right there before him. If that was in correcting the Pharisees and challenging them, if it was seeing the blind man or the woman who was bleeding with hemorrhaging, if it was the leader who came asking that his daughter be raised from the dead, he went on to continue to give witness, to proclaim the truth of the kingdom, and to pour out in great love his mercy. And so for us to proclaim the truth with love, it requires mercy, forgiveness, and that is particularly difficult. It is in our woundedness that oftentimes the evil one likes to come and lurk and steal away our sense of peace. Just yesterday, I had a beautiful day spent in the cemetery. Thanks to one of the men who works for the Catholic cemeteries for the diocese, we buried over 30 people There were 30 people laid to rest yesterday who were in urns for many years. And then I had the opportunity to bury a miscarried child. And while we were there at the cemetery, there was another man there cleaning off a headstone. And it looked like it was very clean already, because he goes there daily. And as we finished up the burial, the wife who had just lost her son went over and started talking to him and asked him to tell her his story. There was a darkness in his heart and in his soul from the loss of his own child, of which there was not light that had been proclaimed of the gospel to that part of his heart and soul, and he carried it still. And there was a bitterness of which he carried. And as she started talking to him about the love of Jesus Christ, faith, and how she was able to let go of her own children and trust in the Lord's goodness, and that the Lord had brought much good out of those times of great suffering, you could sense that that darkness had cracked. Dear brothers and sisters, there is a lot of woundedness. There is a lot of darkness in our culture. And if we think that politics is going to be the thing that solves it, it's not. And I'm not saying that politics are unimportant. It's super important. But if we get caught up in this rat race, and we are not capable of seeing the woundedness that is standing right there before us, we will not change our culture. And so we need to speak the truth. It's the only way we can come to some form of unity. We have to speak the truth. We have to live the truth. And in so doing, we're going to be wounded by it. And we're going to have to forgive. And we're going to have to continue to love, seeking to bring the goodness of Christ into those areas of people's lives. Because I do think that if many were loved and were able to receive the goodness into their brokenness, many things would change. And so today, I find it to be so consoling to come to the altar, knowing the weight and the darkness and the distrust and the kind of negativity that surrounds everything in our culture right now, politically, to pray the Gloria is such a consolation. Because we belong to the civilization of God, of the kingdom, and this is where we belong. This is where we find our identity. And it is out of this that we live our life. So we come here in faith, like the man in the gospel, and like the woman in the gospel, we come in faith, knowing our own woundedness, knowing our own inability to submit ourselves to the truth of the gospel and live it well. And so we come here and we reach out in faith, begging that the Lord might intervene in our life, certainly and first and foremost, but also in our culture. Because I do believe there is a culture of sin as well. That not only we have to remove the sin from our own lives, but we need to pray and we need to do our part to bring the goodness of the Lord into our world, which will help tear down. And the Lord, in His great mercy, will do that if we are faithful and we continue to trust in Him, because He is trustworthy. And the beauty is, as we continue in this journey of faith, many will mock us like they mocked Jesus. How dare you? She's dead. How dare you say she is only asleep? How dare we doubt the Lord? He has the power to bring life out of darkness. He has the power to raise up the dead. He has the power to unite the United States of America. But it has to happen with each and every one of us belonging to the civilization of the kingdom of God. First and foremost, and in and through that, we will be united. As we are united with Him, as we are united with the saints, as we are united with the entirety of the church, in and through Jesus Christ.